What's up, what's up?
Love
Talking Sports
Radio.
Man, ready for takeoff. Oh, yeah, you got to crank it up, Dr. Dre.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. You're going to party like it's 1999 tonight, people.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me,
yes,
my time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Oh, yeah, the time is now. I never get sick of that intro, Rob. I don't know what it is, man. It just tells me that Talking Sports
is
right on the air.
That's hype. Told you, we're going to party like it's 1999 tonight.
I love it. I love it. Rob is ready to go. Once, of course, welcome to Talking Sports for the 12th Man. Today is July the 29th. Rob, this month is flying by. It's exciting times, man. We've got football. We've got pro and college. Got a lot of things to jump in, and without further ado, I'm going to introduce myself. I'm Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. Rob, how you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, doing great. Just getting back in from Houston, checking in on the Texans. Let's see how they come along with training camp, seeing that the Rockets have got over the disappointment of not landing Chris Bosh, and, you know, a little Longhorns as well from a distance. How about you?
Same thing, sir. You know, we always like to be on the road. We're just getting back. We're not going to have a long show for you people because we know it's just it is what it is. But, you know, we have to keep it moving. That is what it's all about. So, once again, as always, we want to throw out our information. If you want to reach out to us, call us via Twitter or call us, follow us via Twitter as well as Facebook. First and foremost, if you want to call us to the show, that number, which, of course, is always toll free if you want to call in, it is 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. We're also on Twitter, as always. You follow us, you go to at the number 12, THMAN Sports. That's how you follow us. And then finally, Rob, if you didn't know, we're also on Facebook. If you want to go to facebook.com/12thmansports, there's the actual link. But if you want to also put in Talking Sports with 12th Man, you'll find a lovely, handsome shot of myself, maybe Rob as well. But that's how we do it. So let's go ahead and get started, Rob. I know we were talking about some NFL football stuff, but we got to talk about what's been happening over the past couple weeks, and then we're going to reach out about the Lakers. I want to give a huge shout-out, first and foremost, to my Atlanta Braves. We had three Hall of Famers, and Bobby Cox, Tommy Glavine, and, of course, Greg Maddux. These guys were incredible players. The word on the street here in Atlanta is that while we're happy, I would say that we hopefully wanted to have more than one World Series. But, you know, just wanted to throw that out there. To the Hall of Fame, Rob.
Oh, yeah, definitely a big achievement and well-deserved for all three of those guys. You can make the case that Bobby Cox was the best Braves manager in history. Of course, yourself and maybe a few other Braves fans may disagree with that. And Greg Maddux and Tommy Glavine, you know, they weren't power pitchers, but they got the job done. They were smart pitchers. They used placement. They were mastery of placing their pitchers and things of that nature, but never were power pitchers, but, you know, they were dynamite for the Atlanta Braves for a long time, and they were contenders every year, even though they only won one World Series. So definitely well-deserved for all three of those gentlemen, and congratulations to all three of them.
Yeah, like you said, we're not going to talk too much junk because we got to let them honor those, but like you said, a huge error for the Braves and kind of a way to solidify. And we'll talk about some stories Greg Maddux had. I was listening to the Hall of Fame speeches, and Greg Maddux, just an amazing guy, knew how to place the ball, told the guy, hey, this guy's going to hit it right to you in right field, to Brian Jordan, who hit it. It was just amazing. He was that much of an awesome pitcher. But anyway, that's my little baseball thing. I know we don't really talk that much baseball, but let's jump right into it, Rob. I guess we want to talk about the NBA before we talk about NFL. And right now, the Lakers, it seemed like it took them long enough, Rob. They finally make a move to hire Byron Scott. I don't know if we have any Lakers fans out there that want to comment on this. I know they're probably very excited to get rid of Mike D'Antoni. That was just not a good fit. But, Rob, do you think this is a good move, bad move, or indifferent? I mean, why do you think the Lakers waited so long in hiring Byron Scott, sir?
Because they weren't convinced on Byron Scott. To be honest with you,
oh, wow.
That's just my You know, they, I think the Lakers really wanted to make a splash with this hire. They really would like to got somebody like a Kevin Ollie, a John Cal. I think they were looking for a big-name guy. Of course, you know, I think a lot of the former Laker greats are ecstatic that Byron Scott is the head coach. I'm not so sure this is a great move, but I think based on what was available for the Lakers, this was probably the best route for them. Is it an upgrade over Mike D'Antoni? Absolutely. Because Mike D'Antoni really should be Mike Antoni because he never coached any D at any place he's ever been, to be honest with you. So Byron Scott, at least that's one thing he will do, is going to come in and preach defense. And, you know, and I think the Lakers, are going to try to improve in that department. But this is just a – this is a Laker team that's going to be 10th place at best in the Western Conference. When you look at their roster – Kobe Bryant is 36 years old. Not sure, you know, how he's going to perform coming off injury. Jordan Hill is a solid player. You know, Nash is over the hill. Jeremy Lin is a wannabe. And so you look at this roster, it's just not – I mean, Julius Randle could come in and possibly contribute as a rookie. But this is a team – you know, the Lakers used to be able to just go into any free agent, get whoever they want. And they missed out on a lot of guys this offseason. I mean, they missed out on Carmelo Anthony. They missed out on LeBron James, Chris Bosh. They missed out on re-signing their own Pau Gasol. The Lakers are, for whatever reason, they're not what they used to be. I mean, like I said, they used to be able to just get whoever they want, similar to where the Yankees operate baseball. But that does not seem to be the working for them in the last few years.
You know, I like your points, Rob. It's pretty funny. That's Mike Antoni. He didn't give him the D, man. That's hilarious. Mike Antoni. It's pretty interesting that you made a couple of those statements because I would imagine that, this would be a good move for Byron Scott. Not sure what the deal is with Brian Shaw. I don't know if that's a name that's kind of been bantered around. I don't know what happened to him. He kind of fell off, but. You know, very.
Yeah, well, he's the head coach of the Denver Nuggets right now.
He made it the coach of the Denver Nuggets, which is fantastic. So, you know, I don't know if they – and the reason I bring that up is I don't know if they're regretting that move because I know they were waiting around for that. But, very interesting as far as, you know, the Lakers, yeah, they haven't been able to get a lot of the free agents, as you mentioned. Also, interesting comment that we talked about as well, just as far as the fact that they're an old team, you know. I'm not going to say that Jeremy Lin is a wannabe, but – not sure who, what, why, what's going on in Lakerland. They're depending on Kobe. As you said, Kobe is 36 years old. They're going to need more. They're going to need more right now. And I don't know what the deal is and what's going on right now, too. So, good call. They're going to finish 10th. You hope that they're going to – I don't know. If you're a Laker fan, I'm not sure what you're going to hang your hat on this season, right now. So – we'll see.
Well, they did acquire Carlos Boozer through waivers, but Carlos Boozer is the undersized small power forward. He doesn't have great athleticism. I think he's another guy that's on a decline. And when you just look at this roster, I just can't imagine them being better than 10th place in Western Conference. And that's just my personal opinion. They may not be making the 10th place.
Tough sledding for sure, and I guess if you're a Laker fan, come in, give us a quick shout-out and, kind of put Rob in his place. But we're going to keep it moving as we always do. And let's kind of talk about the Bulls. Bulls made a lot of big splashes, Rob, getting Pau Gasol. I think we were a huge fan of that particular move. And also, I guess the question is, you would almost consider Derrick Rose coming back. That's a huge addition. And I guess... Right now, how would you rank the Bulls with everything? I know they've solidified a couple of their guys, via some good bench players and Kirk Heinrich and whatnot. But what do you think about the Bulls if Derrick Rose is healthy? And also, if he doesn't happen to get healthy, what do you think about the Bulls' chances? Are they still kind of hampered, or is this kind of help them get to the next level, Rob?
Well, I think, it's a big if, obviously. If Derrick Rose is healthy, I think it's second-best team in the Eastern Conference. I think when you look at Derrick Rose, you look at Pau Gasol, Yeah, Joakim Noah, Taj Gibson. He'd be a great defensive stopper coming off the bench. And you know, when you look at this team, I think Doug McDermott is going to be a nice outside shooter for him. I think he's going to contribute as a rookie. And, you know, right now, I think, even though it's not official, I think you're going to see Cleveland, Cavs, Choir, Kevin Love. I think they're going to be the best team in the Eastern Conference. But I like this Bulls team to be right there, right behind them. And, you know, if Derrick Rose is healthy, I think they're 1-2 in the Eastern Conference. And I think, you know, I think that could be, if they make the East Conference Finals, I think that could be a pretty good series. You know, Tom Thibodeau is going to preach defense, and they're going to be well-equipped in that department. And but I would just rate them slightly under Cleveland at the moment in the Eastern Conference. So if, you know, like I said, it's a big if, and it's Derrick Rose. We're going to see how he does here in the Basketball World Cup this summer, see how he's recovered. That ought to tell us something here in a few weeks.
Yeah, very good. They actually pick up a huge player in Paul Gasol. I think, Rob, I think Mike D'Antoni, as you said, didn't really know how to utilize him, and I think he was definitely miscast in that offense. And I think he'll go to Chicago, and he'll find a team that's going to be excited about his skill set, Rob. You know, I'm not sure how you can move, if you can move Noah to the four and let Paul play the five, or I'm not sure, you know, obviously they can be interchangeable. So they immediately strengthen that front line. You know, if you try to stack Lane, you know, Derrick Rose coming back, that's a huge addition. You talked about the bench has been pretty solid. So, you know, just a lot of good moves. They're going to play defense like we talked about. Everyone knows their roles, and I agree this is going to be a tough team to play. And I know we keep talking about Cleveland, and, you know, we talked about Cleveland and getting that possibility of grabbing Kevin Love. I'm going to – hopefully we'll get a chance to talk a little later on, maybe next week, as far as if it happens, Rob, because I think if they do acquire Kevin Love, it may shift some of the salaries for Cleveland. It may allow Cleveland to be sort of similar to what LeBron left in that, you know, they may be kind of tough as far as salary cap and whatnot. But if they do make that move, it's kind of like all in, Rob. You're basically saying, hey, we're going to kind of get this title within the next few years without a doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, what you have to be smart about is when you have three superstars like that taking up a chunk of your salary cap, you got to be creative and finding ways to have some bench on your team. It looks like, you know, they'll have a solid rotation with big men, with Tristan Thompson and Anderson Varejao to go along with Kevin Love. So I think you'll be solid there. And now the next question is, how do you handle the backup point guard position by Kyrie Irving? And, you know, Dion Waiters, I think, could be a, you know, a really solid starting, you know, two for them. And of course, you know, you brought Mike Miller, got him come in. I think fits well with the penetration of Kyrie Irving and LeBron James. And then there's also the possibility of signing another spot-up shooter in Ray Allen, who also worked great with the penetration of Kyrie Irving and LeBron James as well. So you want to try to get these guys a few more shooters on the perimeter. And, you know, Kevin Love is also a guy that can step out and knock down three-pointers. And like I said, when, you know, there's not too many people that's going to be able to stop Kyrie Irving and LeBron James off the dribble.
Yes, yeah, like you said, that's what we talked about there, the big three. A lot of good comments, and you're going to hope, Rob, if you're LeBron, that just by coming back and you're going to hopefully attract some free agents. I know you're going to attract the Ray Allen, the Mike Millers. Like you said, maybe you can kind of attract one more person to kind of get, you know, maybe that league minimum to kind of play backup point guard and or just, you know, get some more bench, you know. So we'll see how that plays out for sure. But, yeah, you know, very interesting to see how this is going to play out. And like we talked about earlier, the past couple of shows, Rob, this NBA free agency has been one of the exciting ones in a while, too. So we're excited about the upcoming season for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And a little bit of, more of not official news just yet, but word on the street is the Cleveland Cavs and the Miami Heat are going to go head-to-head on Christmas Day. So that's going to be really interesting. James faced the Miami Heat. And, the NBA hasn't officially released it, but, you know, if you haven't heard it yet, you heard it here first on Talking Sports with the 12th Man.
Nice.
Dr. Dre, Robert Ford, the Miami Heat, and the Cleveland Cavs will face off against each other on Christmas Day.
Nice. That's definitely must-see television for sure. So awesome. Let's keep moving. Let's make one more. We got one more thing to talk about for the NBA and the Grizzlies making moves in the front office. They officially hire Chris Wallace as a GM. And good move, bad move, Rob. I'm going to toss it up and tee it up for you, Rob. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a good move. He's been in that front office for a while. It's well-deserved. I mean, they've made some reshuffling in their front office. This Memphis team has made a lot of good moves. They've been real competitive here in the last 3 to 4 years, and I think he's done a solid job. You know, even with getting Vince Carter, you know, he's up in age, but he's still been a solid role player here, averaging double digits even at his age, you know, able to hit the long ball, still is a solid defender. I think he's a guy that can really help them at the three position and even slide over and play a little bit of the two as well. So I think, you know, this keeps the Memphis Grizzlies pretty competitive to go along with Mike Conley and Zach Randolph and, of course, Marc Gasol.
Love it. So, you know, he's going to move into a good situation, Rob. And the Grizzlies, they're, you know, like we talk about, chemistry is very, very important. I don't think they're that far away, Rob. You know, maybe they made a couple, one or two pieces here, but it's going to be interesting to see that squad. I do want to make a quick comment. Big shout out to my dad. He actually sent us a text, Rob. And I know we were talking about the possibility of Kevin Love coming to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And the question is, if that does happen, what kind of playing, you know, if this actually plays out, if everything's going to work out, do you think that if the Cavs make that move and get Kevin Love, do you think the Spurs are going to make it, and you think that the Cavs can beat the Spurs if it came down to another kind of not really rematch, but kind of LeBron again going against the Spurs? Because he's saying that it's not going to happen, that Love is not going to help. So what do you think about that? Is my dad kind of crazy, or do you think he has some good points there?
Well, I'll tell you why I think they will be able to compete with the Spurs. I'm not going to go as far as say they will beat the Spurs, but I think they'll have a chance for the simple reason, three-point shooting. When you look at this, the way this Cavs team is going to be constructed, Kyrie Irving can knock down a three. Ray Allen can knock down a three. Well, Ray Allen, of course, not officially a Cav, but if they do decide to get him. Mike Miller is already signed with the Cavs, so you know if he's one of the best wide-open three-point shooters in the game. So you have Mike Miller, you have Kevin Love, who can step out into three. Now, that was really the big difference between the Spurs and the Heat. I mean, the Spurs had guys that come in and knock down a three-point shot, the Miami Heat did not. And also the second thing that was a big difference in that series was depth. Spurs had more depth, the Miami Heat had no depth. And Miami Heat didn't get help from their two big stars, or their so-called other two big stars, and Chrisy Bosh and Dwayne Wade. So I think, you know, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love are younger players right in the middle of the prime, and I think they're upgrades over Dwayne Wade and Chrisy Bosh, and as well as you have the outside shooting element. So I think this move, if you do get a Kevin Love, I think this Cavs team is right there with the Spurs. I do expect the Spurs to repeat in the Western Conference, even with them getting a year older. I think the Spurs will be right back there again as well. But I see a Cleveland Cavaliers-San Antonio Spurs final with the Spurs, with Cleveland acquiring Kevin Love. And I think it'll be a great series, 6-7 games for sure.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. The thing that you wonder if this does happen, Rob, we always talk about chemistry. I know that's an overrated word, but hopefully they can generate that chemistry if this does happen. The second piece, you know, like we talk about depth with the Spurs, the Spurs have been playing together a little bit longer. So, you know, I think that the fact that they have great ball movement, they understand the philosophy, you know, that's why it would be a great series for sure. And you hope that LeBron can definitely, to the guys, say, hey, this is what to expect, you know, build that depth and kind of be able to throw different ways at the Spurs too, because Spurs, they can get tired, but it's just a very well-coached team and you know, you're going to have to earn it with them, Rob, for sure. I have to say that.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about that. No question. The Spurs have the best coach in the game in Greg Popovich. You know, and that's another fact you got to look at with the Cleveland Cavaliers. They hired a, you know, first-time NBA coach. Obviously, David Blatt has had an incredible international resume, and people have been screaming for him to get an NBA job for years. But still, there's the element that, okay, he hasn't coached as a head coach in the NBA before, so it's going to be interesting to see how well he adjusts to the NBA game. So that's another factor for the Cleveland Cavs, whereas the San Antonio Spurs have the best coach in the business. And he knows how to push the right buttons. He knows how to give his guys proper rest during the season so that it'll be healthy for a playoff run as well. And so that will be interesting as well.
Good call. Like I said, so, you know, that's something that if you are Cleveland, that may be a challenge for them having a first-time head coach and going into somebody that's well, definitely well experienced, you know. So we'll keep an eye on that. That's why we talked about very exciting. We got about 8 minutes, right around 9 minutes left in the show. This is going to be short. I do, Rob, want to talk about some NFL. We got some training camps kicking off. You know, Johnny Manziel, Brian Hoyer, that's going down right now. Looks like Hoyer's going to edge out Johnny Manziel from all reports. You know, and just as a little side note, Rob, it seems like, you know, I was watching the some of the media days for college, and Urban Meyer was still shocked that Tim Tebow hasn't found a job yet. So I just figured I wanted to add that just for your enjoyment, sir. But
Tebow's name in the show, huh?
You know, he was surprised why no one has given him a shot because he's working hard right now. But you know, something to throw out. So I knocked out both of them. Let's talk about real quick some training
camp information. He's not an NFL quarterback.
Oh man. Some quarterbacks that had some tough seasons last year, RG3, Eli Manning. I guess the question is, will they have bounce back season? And I'm going to go on the limb and say yes for RG3. You know, I don't know what happened with Mike Shanahan. Was it did he come back too soon? We definitely were talking about that all last season. You know, RG3 has a great weapon finally in DeSean Jackson. Not sure how the running game is going to evolve because Mike Shanahan had more of that zone blocking scheme, kind of that one cut and go. You know, they'll probably keep some of those tendencies, so I'm kind of curious to see how the offense works with that. But adding such a weapon like DeSean, this squad, I think he'll bounce back. Same thing with Eli Manning. They have to get that defense secured. And, you know, obviously they've locked up, they still got their great receivers and Victor Cruz and whatnot. But, you know, you have to worry about the running game. David Wilson had some challenges. But I think they'll definitely have bounce-back seasons for sure, sir.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you as well. I think Jay Gruden is going to add some excitement to that Redskins offense. I think he's got a great plan for RG3. And if RG3 is healthy, I think he would definitely have a bounce-back season. He'd have a great season similar to what he had his rookie season. So I definitely agree with you there on the RG3 front. Eli Manning, I think, will also have a bounce-back season. But, you know, if you look at what happened with the Giants on last year, they may have the worst offensive line in the league last year. And I think that played a major factor in the kind of season that Eli Manning had as well. So I think as long as that offensive line is backed up being up to par or playing solid football, I think Eli Manning is going to have a bounce-back season as well. But I think his is definitely contingent on how well that offensive line plays for the New York Giants. They made a lot of signings along the offensive line for both starters and additional depth along the offensive line. They even addressed it in the draft as well. So they're hoping, and Tom Coughlin is hoping, that the Giants have rectified that offensive line because it was horrid last year. Eli Manning was probably getting hit every time he dropped back to pass last season.
Yeah, good call, good call. And I know we have a lot of Giants fans, Rob. They're very excited to hear you talk about that. Just kind of reiterating everything about that, too, making a nice comeback, too. I do briefly, I'm going to say a quick comment about some notes that I've been hearing from the league. And feel free to add this in, Rob. I know we got about 5 minutes left in the show. And just kind of talk more or less, we're on the street, and I know we kind of have differing opinions about Johnny Football, you know, and the word on the street is that Brian Hoyer is head and shoulders right now going to be the starter going into the season. He and that's how you do it, Rob. You definitely let the competition kind of go for the camp. I know Johnny is an exciting player right now, but Hoyer has been in total command of the offense. just because of experience. He's been able to come in and command that. He's only won three games, and obviously he's 3-0 as a Cleveland quarterback. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing because there's not enough history, but it seems like he's probably going to get the nod to start. And like we talked about, Johnny has some excitable moments, but right now he's not quite ready. And I guess that's something I wanted to point out from what I'm hearing from a lot of those camps. And I don't know if you want to talk about anything before we get ready to wrap up this edition of Talking Sports with 12 Men as well, sir.
Well, yeah, obviously, these preseason games are going to tell us a lot, too. But, I saw some things of Brian Hoyer last year. He looked like he could definitely be a starter in this league. And, I think he was showing some signs, igniting that offense in Cleveland. And I definitely think that he will be the starter day one for Cleveland Browns. It's just my personal opinion. I just don't think Johnny Manziel is ready yet. Not going to say he won't be an NFL quarterback. Just don't think he's ready to start week one. I think if you look at any rookie quarterback that may start week one, I can project Teddy Bridgewater in Minnesota. I think he will be a starter week one. I think he's fallen in the draft, a combine guy or that kind of thing. But I think when you look at his actual film of his quarterback in college, I think when you look at his maturity level as well, I think that gives Minnesota, I think, something to play with there. And I think he will be Minnesota's quarterback starting from day one.
I like it, Rob. And we talked about even earlier about some players that we wanted to keep an eye on. And I concur. Anytime that you have a strong running game, you're going to help out your rookie quarterback. So if they run the ball, and obviously have one of the best in Adrian Peterson. They may have to get a little, but, surround him with weapons, tell him, hey, don't make mistakes. You got a running game right there. Let our defense set the stage. And we'll see what happens preseason, but I'm very excited to see his progress for Minnesota as well. Anything else you want to point out? Anything you're hearing from training camps? I know there was a lot of things that were opening, from Tony Romo and what's been happening in certain camps. Not that I'm a Dallas fan, but big shout-out to Lennard. But, anything you wanted to kind of mention as far as that? We got about 2 minutes and 26 seconds before the show is over, Rob.
Well, based on what I'm hearing, Tony Romo is, recovered nicely from the back surgery. He's got good velocity on his throws here in training camp so far. Obviously, Dallas wants to be smart and monitor the situation. But as of right now, he's coming to camp, throwing the ball with good velocity. I know there are a lot of Cowboys fans out there. I'm sure you're following it closely. But as of right now, he has shown good velocity on his throws. He looks to be recovering well from back surgery. As I mentioned, just coming back from Houston, getting an update on the Texans. Javon Clowney having some minor nicks and bruises, but, this is a guy that you expect to form a dynamic duo with J.J. Watt. That's going to be interesting to see this year. Of course, I think they're I don't see them being a playoff team just yet with the shakiness that they have at the quarterback position. As of right now, it looks like Ryan Fitzpatrick might be that guy starting in week one. But defensively, they might keep him in a lot of games. I can still see them being like a 6-10 kind of team at best with the defense keeping them in games this year.
Got about a minute, Rob. Let's go ahead and wrap up the show for next week. Thank you guys for listening, and let's wrap it up as we get ready to end our show.
Yeah, you don't want to miss us on next Tuesday night. We have more NFL training camp. We'll have one preseason game under our belt, the Hall of Fame game this coming Sunday, so maybe we'll talk a little bit about that. And we'll keep you abreast of what's happening in the rest of the sports world. So you definitely don't want to miss next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. in Hawaii. Join us next. That's 6 p.m. in Hawaii, I believe. No, 5 p.m.
Yeah, you got it.
Join us on next Tuesday night. Good night, people.
It's all good. We appreciate that. We know it's a short show. Like you said, we wanted to get it in, and we'll keep moving. We'll have some topics moving, and we'll talk about the OT as always. But anyway, we'll see you guys next week. Good night, people. Good show, Rob. Talk to you soon, sir. Have a good evening.
All right. Good night.
Good night, sir. Good night, America. We'll talk to you soon.